We've been in Colossians since January, and we continue, and I'm trying my best to wrap it up, but as I was looking at last night, I was going to kind of gobble a little more scripture than I ended up gobbling, or we're going to take this morning. Because I think at times, I don't want to just end Colossians and say, hey, we did Colossians, we did. It's not about what we've gone through, it's about how we've changed. And so I'm going to do my best by end of June. I'll see how the rest of it lays out. I know the last part is a lot of thanksgiving and appreciation, and I'm going to capture a lot of that together. But I hit two scriptures today. I just felt like it would be too much to chew beyond these two scriptures today. So we're going to look at, I'm going to title it this morning. In fact, last week was Christ in the home, talking about our marriages. But this week is Christ in the heart. Next week, I'm going to talk about Christ in the job. But this day is Christ in the heart. I want to look at two verses. Colossians chapter 3, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. It's in the New Testament, one of Paul's books. And great little gospel for us, and our great little letter he wrote to us to grow us. This morning, we're going to look at two areas. One is children obeying their parents. And all the parents said, amen. The second part is parents not frustrating their children. And all the children said, amen. We better go to our scripture. Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents. And can you say this with me? In everything. For this pleases the Lord. Heavenly Father, thanks for your words. But Lord, let it go beyond our eyesight today and get deeply seated and planted in us. So God, we can walk it out and live it out so we can please you. In Jesus' name, amen. The passage is pretty clear. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. But something I need to make sure I set up well this morning is that those people who are ages 18 and under are not just children this morning. In fact, none of you would be here unless you were a child. And we're always children. You'll always be a child. You have parents. And I think there's a lesson for all of us to learn in this morning. I know culture has changed a little bit, and many of us think that children obeying their parents is probably worse today than it's ever been. But let me tell you, nothing's new under the sun. In fact, about 2,000 years ago, Paul had to write these words. And by the way, church, it goes all the way back to the beginning of mankind and their offspring. This problem is nothing new. And today I want to start by giving you just two things I believe that children need to know. Now, there's probably more things they need to know, but I want to make it a bite size for you today and so we can work through this. But number one is this. Children must learn to respect authority. Sounds harsh, don't it? But it's good for us. The Ten Commandments, God says this in one of them, Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. This idea was so important that God put it in the Big Ten. Not the Big Ten that you're thinking about, but His Big Ten. And he put it there because it would be life-giving. It was the key. If we could learn how to respect our parents, it was the key to a long and a fruitful life here on earth. Once respect, though, is lost for authority, society begins to crumble. And that's why this respect has to begin in the home and in the heart. And that's why a child that is allowed to dishonor his or her parents will spend the rest of her life rebelling against authority. And therefore, many of them throughout life begin to rebel against God because God is the ultimate authority. Respect for authority in our hearts is essential for our society to function the way God wanted it to function. Listen, to honor someone is to place great weight on the value of their counsel. I'm thankful for my father-in-law, great pastor all these years, and I'll never forget one of the first times I turned to you for counsel. You may or may not remember it, but you probably remember the incident once I explained it, but it was before I got married. I was serving as an intern at a church, and I was a junior in college, and I had to do an internship, and I was there, and all of a sudden, they decided to bring on some high school interns. And then they asked me, I said, would you lead all these interns? And there was about five of us all together. And I'm like, sure, no problem. And one day I was sitting with one of the interns, and they said, man, you must be getting paid good, because we're making $250 a week. And I was getting $75 a week. I'm like, well, what do I do with that? I held my tongue, and I called my father-in-law. I said, what about this? And let me tell you the wisdom you gave me that day. Because you could probably pull several things. But that day he pulled the scripture. It said, remember the workers who went working in the vineyard, and one started at the beginning of the day and the other one? And the final statement is that you agreed to work for that. So you worked for it. Well, let me tell you the story. I got a raise. I told them also my pastor was overseeing me. They raised me up to $100 a week. And the great principle of the counsel of respecting my authority and those that God had put in my life became important to me that day, because I was able to walk through that with joy and not sorrow. It's important for us to learn to respect authority and value their counsel. Practically, honoring our parents means this, church: speaking of them and to them with respect. Solomon writes these words in Proverbs 23:22. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. How many have old parents? No, I'm not. No. We need to be careful. Though we change in our relationship with our parents, though we may leave home, we should still honor and respect them at all times. At least that's what God tells us to do. We need to speak of them well wherever we are. Secondly, honoring your parents means being grateful for the things you were given. All of us at times when we were kids tended to take for granted the food and the provisions and the chauffeuring that all the parents did, and the care when we were sick and the encouragement to keep us going. We just didn't know how to appreciate it back then. And somewhere between 20 and 25, you wake up and realize, man, mom and dad knew a lot. You kind of get it. Every once in a while, a person who is honoring their parents should make a point to say thank you. I try to call my mom and my dad once a week, and I talk to usually either or sometimes both. But I'm not perfect at it, but I work at it hard, just trying to connect. And I would almost tell you, without fail, I always say, Mom, thank you for telling me about Jesus. My dad, I'll say, Dad, all those things you told me, I'm starting to get them, but thank you. You need to show, just don't think they get it. Just don't think that they need to hear your appreciation and your thank yous. A person who honors their parents notices their efforts and is grateful for it. Now, I know that once we left home and now we're responsible for making our own decisions in life, and all of that's good, but we are still called to honor our parents. I'm going to read a verse to you, and remember, it's the word of God, not my word. Got it? 1 Timothy, chapter 5, verse 4. Young pastor Paul's writing to him because he's going to be instructing the church. And so he said, this is something they need to hear. And here it is. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first First of all, to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family. And so repaying their parents and grandparents. For this is pleasing to God. Now, I don't know what you think about that scripture, but I think it's important for us to, I think we grow up in a society to say, hey, mom and dad, that was your responsibility. But church, I'm teaching you as children, not 18 and under, everybody, that we should repay our parents and our grandparents. We've gotten into a society that we're waiting for their inheritance to bless us, when the Bible says you should care for your family and you ought to repay them. When you leave home, sweetheart, send us $1 a week. And if you're like me and you have enough kids, it will take care of you. Do you understand, parents, you teach your children to honor you first. And with the way you demonstrate that will be how you honor your parents. Because children learn by example. You need to be careful with your words. And don't talk about in-laws at home in a negative way. I have been incredibly blessed with my in-laws. And I can only thank God. But I thank them, and I want them to know that. In church, we need to obey the scripture. And I don't know when I'll start sending the dollar, but we'll try. Number two, children also have to be taught godliness. Children are not born with a hunger for God. You've seen them, I try to put their fingers in sockets and stuff like that, touch the hot stove. You know what I'm talking about. When the kid, you've said, no, don't do that, and they reach out and look at you. You know what I'm talking about. They have to be taught, because the Bible says, the biblical teaching is this: sin is so insidious and deep that it reaches even into the womb. David writes it this way: surely I was sinful at birth. Now, wait a minute. Sinful from the time my mother conceived me. But listen, it is a joy to teach our children to pray and be respectful and to share and to love. But if you notice, you hadn't had to teach them how to spit. You didn't teach them how to curse. You didn't teach them how to say, it's mine. You didn't have to teach them how to throw a temper tantrum. It just all came so naturally. And that's why the Word of God teaches us we got to train them in righteousness, in right doing. Deuteronomy 11, 18 to 20 says, fix these words of mine, fix them in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. In places in our home, we have scriptures on mirrors and places, because we just got to keep putting it in our hearts and in our homes. I don't know what your door frame should look like, but put scripture on it. Church, we've got to let this begin to permeate our hearts and our lives. We have to teach godliness. It has to be instructed, because it does not come naturally, but it does come supernaturally. So adult parents, don't forsake your responsibility. Honor your parents. And then teach your kids to be godly. Illustrate honor and respect in your own life. And then teach your children about God and godliness. Teaching them to choose to do the right things. Now, how many give me an amen to this children obey your parents? But wait till you hear the next part. See, we like the amen, and we like to use that scripture, children, obey your parents. But then Paul gives us verse 21. He begins to meddle not just with children, but now with parents. And he says in verse 22, fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. The counsel, again, is pretty simple. There's a parallel passage in Ephesians chapter 4, and we're told in Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 4, says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. There's an important distinction here. Our goal is not just to merely outwardly conform them to some external standard, but our goal is to develop children who will seek to glorify God in the way they live. It's not enough just to teach them to do good things. It's our job to teach them to serve the Lord. It's not enough just to get our kids to say please and thank you and be kind to others. We have to teach them that. But when we teach them to be kind to others, we teach them that they are reflecting and they look most like Jesus when they do that. In fact, I'm going to give you my parenting class this morning. Here it is. Parents, you live for Jesus yourself first completely. You reflect God, you reflect His principles in your speech and in your life. It's about Christ in your heart. We should not only teach our children about the habit of worship, lift your hands, but we should teach them to love God. And then the habit of worship comes from the relationship. All of a sudden it's, I love God, oh, I love God, God, I love you. And the worship pours out because of the relationship. We should be teaching them not only to spend time in God's Word, but that's good. But why don't you teach them to love the truth? Because God is truth. Our goal is not simply keeping our children out of trouble in life. Our goal is to lead our children to the Lord of life. And that's why the best parenting class is to teach us to work Christ into our lives instead of just trying to work Christ into their lives. I believe the passage in verse 21, though it seems directed at fathers, I believe it's valuable both to both fathers and mothers. Now, Paul, a lot of times in his passage, he doesn't give us these, but he tends to look at some of the negative stuff before he gives us the positive stuff because we're really good at the negative stuff. And if I only give you the positives, love your kids and and pray for them. Those are all good things. But I think for us to understand and grow better, sometimes you have to look at the negative. So I'm going to give you some things to avoid that embitter your children. Number one, I'll explain it. Force without love. We embitter our children when our discipline seems more an exertion of our power than our love. There are times that parents, we can kind of bully our children. Well, God made me your parent. That's why I'm here and I'm going to take care of this. And we begin to bully them. And we exert our power and not our love. And yet, God put His love in your heart so it could be poured out. It's wrong for us to bully them. Our goal is to train them and to assist them in getting to know the Lord. It's not just for us to exercise. God didn't give you children so you could exercise force and authority. He gave you children so you could train them and teach them love. You're not going to like this one, but I'm going to teach it to you anyway. Things to avoid is a double standard. Parents, there really shouldn't be a double standard. If it's not good for them, it's probably not good for you. I know I deal with it in my home, but it's PG-13. I'm 13 now. I said, did you see the PG? That's parental guidance. I use a website. We use imbd.com, and they give you content of movies and things like that. I also use another one called screenit.com. Because I go to these sites with children and everything out there today, I think we just have to work through. And listen, I don't try to shield them from everything. I just let them be aware of it. And in these sites, they'll tell you exactly what's in that movie. Screenit.com is a little bit explicit at times, though it tries to hide it. But I'm like, okay, come here. Let's see what's in this movie. Here it is. And let's be you and Jesus. You ready to go see this movie? And parents, I know you say, "Well, I'm older now, and I know how to handle those things better than they do." You know how to handle sin better than they do. Parents, get rid of the double standard. Set the standard of the Word of God and flee from evil. Don't give the enemy a foothold. Get rid of the double standard. Listen, if you want your children to be discouraged and become embittered and exasperated with you, then live your double standard. But I'm asking you, set the same standard for you and for them. Our children need to see a consistency in the home and in our lives. You ready to be done with that one? Move number three. Criticism without encouragement. Avoid that. I know we have to correct our children. And constructive criticism is good at times. But in doing this, we often spend all of our time commenting on the negative things in their life. Listen, make it a point to celebrate the victories in your child's life. Isn't that what you want from others? Let me let you in on a secret. There's a book called The Five Love Languages, and me and my wife have walked through it. And I used to think my love language was service. You know, you do things for me, because I like to do things for people. But as I kept going through it, I found out really my love language is words of affirmation. I like to be affirmed. I'll go home, we get in the car with my kids, I'm like, "What'd you get out of that message?" Because I need the pat on the back. I that's just who I am. And I'm not asking for that from you, though. If you want to give it, that's fine. I've learned to receive it in humility. So here's what my children have learned to do. They take notes. I don't know if they get anything out of the message, but they're like, "Dad, look what I wrote down. Yeah, you said this and this." I'm like, "Man, that's good." Listen. We need to encourage. We all want that encouragement in our life. At the end of the day, wouldn't you rather have somebody pat you on the back for what you've accomplished and then underscore all the things you didn't accomplish? Listen, you speak life. The power of life and death are in your words. The Bible puts it this way. There's life and death and the power of the tongue. I'm asking you, speak life to them. Be careful not to over-criticize them. Encourage your children and they will grow. There's probably a lot more things we could talk about this morning, but I've learned that we can only choose so much. And I thought if I give you too much this morning, I didn't know you would take it home. You'd be like, "That's just too much." Those are just three simple things, but why don't you just choose one? Why don't you just begin to work one of those into your life? And then maybe the next one. Let me remind you of something. There's no perfect parents. There just aren't. And that's because we're all sinful. And the sin nature likes to occasionally poke its awful head out on certain occasions. And it does it sometimes when we're a parent. But parents, don't give up. Because I know we can all be better parents. I know we can. We have an obligation to learn and to develop and work at our parenting skills. Let's do it. Just focus on one of those areas and learn to get better at it. Work at being a better listener. Because sometimes of my reading of the Word or a book or this or that, my kids will come to me. I'm like, "Man, the Bible's got something to say about that." And I got to learn to listen. Sometimes they just want to pour their heart out. And I just want to give them an answer. I just need to learn to listen. Work at encouraging more. Work at being a better example. One of the most important things we can do for our children is to keep our own spiritual life strong. God wants you to lead your children to Him, but at the same time, He wants you to represent Him to your children. As I close this morning, let me just kind of be direct. The first question before you can act on being a child that's obedient or a parent that knows how to honor the Lord, the first question is this: have you truly committed your life to Christ? Why do I put it that way, to Christ? Because have you committed your life to an anointing? Are you really a Christian? A person who walks in the same anointing that Christ did? See, I need that anointing on my life because I want this commitment to be to the anointing of God in my life. I want to know Him as Savior and Master and King, but I want that anointing, that Christ in me, the hope of glory. I'm not asking, do you affirm or like the points I talked about this morning? I'm asking, do you really have a relationship? Because without it, it's going to be hard to be a child who's obedient. It's going to be hard to be a parent who's good. Because you need that anointing. What I've shared here today, what I'm really asking, have you met the one who will change your life? Have you met the one who will energize you with grace and He'll guide you by His Spirit? Is Jesus the leader of your life? Because you need Christ in the heart. You want to be a good child or a good parent? Put Christ in the heart. God longs for you first, though, to be His child, to become children of the Lord. And then honor our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. And I learned honor and respect over who is the authority. And then He allows me in this process to become one that has authority. Under authority, but having it not to lord it over, but to lead and be the example. Those who are parents, God wants you to lead those children, but you need to know Him. And you can't lead well until the issue is settled that Christ is Lord of your life. Are you willing to make that first step today? Would you bow your heads? This morning, in this place, balcony, main floor, if you want to invite Christ to be Lord, because I, you know what, maybe you're a child, maybe, and all of us are children, but maybe even as a parent, you said, I haven't done well because maybe Christ hasn't been there. And today, you want to accept Christ and what He did for you and His work on the cross, and then allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. If you would like that today, accept Him as your personal Savior, make Him Lord of your life. Would you just lift your hand, and I want to pray for you today. As I look across, yes, ma'am. As I continue to look across, is there in the balcony? Is there anyone? Anybody else? I want to be that child of God that represents God. I want to be the parent that represents the Heavenly Father. Amen. For these that have lifted their hands, would you just pray with me this morning, all of us together? Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sin.
Forgive me of my sin.
Thank you for saving me.
Thank you for saving
me. I believe you died on a cross.
I believe you died.
I believe you rose again.
Rose again.
And I accept you.
I accept you
as Master.
As Master.
Lord and Savior.
Lord and Savior.
Thank you for saving me.
Thank you for saving me.
Now lead me. Teach me.
Teach me.
Let me hear your Spirit speak to me.
Let me hear your Spirit speak to me.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Would you welcome these that raise their hand and praise God? Thank you. All heaven's having a party, because that's where it starts. Amen. And listen, we want to help you grow in the Lord. And if you just step up here, and I've got a team that will just step up here for a moment. Some of my pastors or my elders or my deacons and our First Foundations class team, you can come. And just if those will just step forward, because we want to get you started right. Now, for those who didn't, I have to make this kind of assumption that you know the Lord. And this morning, you're saying, I have a genuine relationship. I'm a child of God. And now you may be serving as a parent. And God understands that we won't be perfect in everything we do. But God wants us to know that we still have to give our best. I can't continue to do it the old way. I've got to grow. And God promises that He'll fill in the gaps. Where we're a little weak, He becomes strong. So let God fill those gaps. Don't be afraid to try and stretch out, because Christ is in the heart. You are walking with an anointing to live out being a child and live out being a parent. This morning I want to end in a little bit unique way, maybe, but not unique probably for me, but this morning, all our children that are 18 and under, and I know the 18-year-olds are saying, I'm an adult now. Would you just respect me for a moment? And I'm going to ask all our 18-year-olds and younger, would you come forward? I'm not going to embarrass you in any way, but I'm just going to ask you to come. And just fill the stage. Thank you. With all these wonderful, wonderful young adults, young people. How many wish you were young again? How many really want to go back and do high school all over? No. I want you to see how many young people we talk to every week. Because sometimes you think just there's adults in here. You get a clue of who we're training. And these are the ones here. Now double that and put all the kids that are upstairs. I just want to speak to you just for a moment. I promise I won't go long. But I'm asking you, because I want you to have a long life. I want you to be fruitful. I want your lives to flourish. And as your pastor, I'm asking you, would you be obedient to your parents? I know they don't have it all together. None of us do. But I'm asking you, I need you to step up. The Word of God speaks to you. It's speaking to you this morning because it pleases the Lord. And I know if I asked each one of you individually, do you really want to please the Lord? You would say, yes. Why don't we start with this one semi-simple instruction, obeying your parents, honoring them. I know they exasperate you at times. I know that. I know what happens. Paul wouldn't have wrote it if it didn't happen. I'm asking you, let Christ be in your life. And I want to pray over you this morning. And would you give me a hearty amen at the end of this? You ready? Let's see if you're in agreement. God, we bless these young people. We thank you for them. They are a blessing and a heritage from you. God, I pray over them that you would help them as they grow and they're learning about you. That God, you would instill in them this simple principle of learning to respect authority and growing in godliness. God, help them, I pray. Watch over them and give them this life that honors their parents. And God, I pray that fruit will just begin to explode over their lives. And it'll be a long life, Lord, touching others because they've learned that principle. And God, I pray you work in them and grow them and help them to be obedient to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. But we're not done. This morning, we're the parents. Many of you may or may not be a parent to a child, but I want you to know, children watch you, and you need to be the God parent. The God representative. Whether you think you have natural children or not, these watch your face. And I would love it if all of a sudden you're the type of person in church that all of them just want to get around. Wouldn't that be the great? This morning, before the service started, I asked Grace if she would pray for us as parents. Because I need prayer. Because I want to grow as a parent. I want to be better. So Grace, I asked you to do this earlier. And just whatever's in your heart. But all of us need the prayer to be better parents. Would you pray for us?
Dear God, I pray for the parents so they become better and nicer parents. And they can be kind and nice and respect their kids and not be harsh to them. And I pray that they can get the kids to get closer to God and learn His word and pray. And I pray that they help the kids so they can have a better eternal life. Mm. In Jesus' name, amen.
And kids, you got a hearty amen to that? Amen. Okay. Don't just be a hearer of the word. Be a doer. Children, obey your parents. Parents, don't exasperate your children. Be understanding with them. Love them. You only get one shot. Aim well. God, strengthen us. Go with us. And let us find you. Let Christ be in our hearts. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Have a Jesus-filled week. God bless you.